Now this morning I'm turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and to verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and to verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. And our topic for this morning is the great day of judgment. The great day of judgment. In fact, in these days, these are what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about, in this life, about judgment, about death, about sin, about hell and heaven. And yet, it is a pity that you don't hear these things in our churches again. The last time that our brother came from UK, he talked about that. How in our part of the world, people are being deceived with vain promises and forgetting that this life leads to some place. Either you go to heaven or you go to hell. And that your life in this world will determine where you spend eternity. And yet sadly, you don't hear about all these things. People are preaching about prosperity, preaching about so many things except issues about hell and heaven. I read one of our Bible tracts, and he said the word hell appears about 234 times in only the New Testament. 234 times. And there are countless numbers that heaven, you read about heaven and then about judgment. So these things are the things that we should think about, because our life is very, very short. How long can you live in this world? And that after death, there's a place to go. There's life after death. Death is not the end. Death is leading us to another place. So where are we going? Are we going to heaven or are we going to hell? And this is the last talk about by our modern preachers. It is very, very, very sad. Nobody thinks about this thing. I told you about a pastor I spoke to in Kumasi who said the one thing he doesn't want to hear in his life is heaven. This is a pastor who pastors a church. And he's saying that he doesn't want to hear about heaven. So what do you want to hear? All they want to hear are things about this world. This world which is doomed for destruction. A world that can never, never get better. This is where they are promising people that they can get this and that, which is not true. The world as it is now is doomed for destruction. It's never, never going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse. And we can see in our lives, things are getting worse and worse. It has never gotten better. So why are we hoping against hope? So we're going to talk about all these things today. These things didn't start now, as our brother said the other day, it started long ago. I want to read 2 Peter chapter 3. We hear how they were ridiculing about the coming of Christ, how it was delaying. And this is the same thing we are realizing. Now let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 and see what they said around, even as at that time. From verse 8, say, whereby the world that thou was being overflowed with water perished. Talking about the time of Noah. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men may count slackness, but is long suffering to us where, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned. You see, so people were ridiculing. They were saying, where it is coming? He said he was going to come, he hasn't come. So this is to explain to them that the Lord will come, but it's waiting for us to repent. But there will be a day that he won't wait anymore. Just like it happened in the time of Noah and the Sodom and Gomorrah. Noah was preaching for about 120 years. People were ridiculing him. People thought he was a mad person. In the end, one day, just one day, it started raining and the whole place was flooded. And how many souls were saved? Only 8 souls were saved. And we have that in our time. Our time, we are preaching and people are not even paying attention to all these things. All what they want to hear is promises, vain promises. But even if you want a true promise or an inspiration, what is more inspiring or motivation to know that the Lord has prepared a place for you in heaven? That when you go, you are going to be with God. You are going to be like angels. You will see Christ as he is. What is more motivational than this? In this world, even if you gain billions of cities, what will you do with them? In the end, you can't even live for more than 100 years. So there's nothing in this world. We should always think of what is above. There are so many Bible verses that talk about hell and heaven and judgment. I'll just give you a few. We won't be turning there because of time. But in your own spare time, you can look at them. Luke 16 verse 23. Luke 12 verse 5. Matthew 5 verse 22. 29. 30. Chapter 10 verse 20. And many more. Which we are not going to turn to. And in Acts chapter 17 verse 31. Apostle Paul talked about a day that God has appointed to judge the world in righteousness. In Psalm 50, as we just read, he saw the warning there that God has said that he will judge this world. In Psalm 96, we see the same thing there, talking about judgment. And in the Old Testament, when you go to Ecclesiastes, King Solomon, who was the wisest man that ever lived, listen to what he said. He said in verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee. In the days of thy youth, and walk in the days of thine heart, and in the night, in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee unto judgment. And this is the man who had money. He was so rich, he had everything. In the end, he said, this life is vanity. And he's talking about that there will be a day of judgment. Whatever we do, God will bring it unto judgment. In the olden days, the Jews were expecting this. They were all expecting a day of judgment. They knew that it was a sure fact that one day there will be a day that God will judge the world. You can turn to Daniel, not now, later on, Daniel 7 from verse 13 to 22, when he talks about the judgment to come. And then from the Savior himself, who is a faithful witness, Christ himself, in Matthew 25 verse 32, he said, and before him, which is Christ, shall be gathered nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. Talking about judgment, where he will come and separate the believers from unbelievers. There are so many of them that if you want to read them, we won't even go today. But sadly, our charismatic friends are always talking about the love of God. Which we know, God is a God of love, but it's also a God of wrath. Don't forget that God is a merciful God, and is also a just God. He has to apply both his mercy and his justice, otherwise he won't be God. Or his justice will then be undermined. If the same God who has said that he will punish sin will leave sinners to go, then he won't be God. So when we are talking about the love of God, talk also about the wrath of God. Because he has said that one day he will send his wrath and destroy all his enemies. All his enemies means all those who have not come to believe in Jesus Christ, who came to die because of our sins, and you don't believe in him. You are an enemy of God, and you are one of those who will come, who the God will come in his wrath against you. Concerning the wrath of God, you can read Romans chapter 2 verse 5. Chapter 13 from verse 1 to 7, 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 to 3, Titus 3 verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 13, and many more, talking about the wrath of God to come. You see, the Bible is very, very clear that there's life after death, and there are only two places to go. There's no in-between, either heaven or hell. In Hebrews 9:27, he said, it's appointed unto man to die once, and after that your judgment. So let nobody deceive you that when you die, that is it. There's life after death. If who and who we are, then we will come to that. But I just want you to know that there's life after death, and you either go to heaven or to hell, depending on how you lead your life in this world, how you see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like I said earlier on, the decision as to where you spend eternity is taken during this short but miserable time that we have here. This world, we live in a miserable world. Don't look at things and think everything is okay. It is a doomed world, and we are living in it. So very soon, it will be no more. Christ said, no stone will be left unturned. Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 that whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. I'm talking about what you sow and what you reap. If you sow maize, you won't go to reap rice. It will be the same maize. So what the life you lead in this world is the life you are going to lead. That's going to show where you are going to spend eternity. Our life here is to obey the preachers who are preaching now about God and turn unto Him before the day of wrath comes. When you wait till the last day, there's no way. Remember the story of Lazarus when he was in hell. He was in heaven, and the rich man was in hell. And the rich man was telling Christ to let him come and talk to his brothers, so that if he comes from death, they will listen to him. What did Christ say? Christ said, if they won't listen to the prophets who are preaching, even if a man goes from the dead, they won't listen to him. So if you don't listen to what we are telling you now, and the time comes, it will be too late, that you can never repent again. You have to repent whilst you are alive and whilst you are hearing all this gospel. It is something that we should never stop thinking. I've always been saying that every day when you wake up, ask yourself that if today is the day of judgment, where will I go? Or if it's the day that I'm dying, where will I go? Because anybody can die at any time. And like I read earlier on, he said the day will come like a thief in the night. How does thief come to you? You will see him all before you realize he's there. And that's how that day will come. So you must be ready at any time that you are alive. Don't wait. Things can get worse. Solomon said that remember your creator in your youthful days before the bad days come. There will be bad days. There will be days that even you want to come to church, but you can't come. So now that you have the opportunity, make use of it and see that your sins have been forgiven you and that you have a hope of going to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, beside all these testimonies from the Word of God, which we have read now, we know that even in this world, we have governments in power, those in authority. We have chiefs, we have opinion leaders who sit down and judge people. Don't they? Those who offend, who offend the society or their other brethren, they judge them, and the guilty ones are punished. So how do you expect that the God, the Creator Himself, will just leave us without any judgment? Because He has put them there. If He wouldn't judge us, He wouldn't show us that this is the way we should live. So all these things is telling us that there will be a day, a final day, where judgment will be. And really, if it was not like that, like I said earlier on, if this is the world, if everything is in this world, then we, as Paul said, we should be the most miserable, the Christians. If this is the end of the world, and nothing, there's no reward in heaven for those who have believed in Christ, and people who are enriching themselves, either through whatever means, if this is the end, then our lives will be the most miserable. Because we see that in this world, the worst men are the ones who are enjoying, isn't it? Those who are rich. You know how they acquire, they won't mind even killing people to be rich. And yet, they are the ones enjoying. We who have given our lives to Christ, we are the most suffering. We are the most afflicted. We are the most oppressed by these same people. So if that is the end, then we will be the most miserable. As Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most miserable. How about these false teachers? People who are preaching lies, deceiving the people in the name of God and making money from them. If this is the end of life and God will not punish them, then God wouldn't be a God of just. Because what they are doing is more dangerous. The preachers who say they believe in Christ, and yet they are preaching contrary to what Christ has come to say, using the word of God to enrich themselves with money and fame and houses and boasting with them. If this is the end of life, then everybody will try to have money and enjoy, and there you go. That can never, never be true. All these anomalies must be rectified. Otherwise, God's justice, like I said earlier on, will be undermined. God is a God of justice, and he must bring justice to everyone who has lived in this world. Now, back to our text, the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Here we learn that judgment indeed is impending. Judgment is impending. As we read in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed. It is appointed, which means that the thing has been taken, that there will be judgment. So it is impending. It is pending. Everybody will be judged. We also learn that it is certain, it is sure to happen. It is true. The same appointed means it is certain, it is true. It's been set down that there will be judgment. We also learn that it will be dreadful, the judgment, it will be fearful. The same 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 that we read, if you go to the verse 11, you see how it's been described. It says terror. It will be a terror for people on those days. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 11, and see how this judgment day is described. Matthew chapter 24, I'm beginning from verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, and love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Those in the field return back to take their clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was never since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive even the very elect. From verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth unto us from the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things shall fulfill. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, as in the day that Noah entered in the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So it's going to be a fearful day. Christ is coming to take his people and destroy all unbelievers. And if you look at all the signs that has been given, one day we'll take time to study them. You can see that the end is very, very near. All the signs have been fulfilled. We see all of them happening. So we can see that the end is very, very close. And we should take these things very, very serious. Another way that we learn is that nobody will be able to escape that day. You can never, that is why I say all of us will appear. That word appear, you come there, you appear there, nobody can escape. And we come to see you as you are. You can never, never, never hide on that day. Now, coming back to our text, there are about four things that we need to learn, which I'm going to go through quickly as we move to conclusion. Now, let's ask ourselves the four questions we are going to ask. Who will appear before this throne of judgment? Number two, who will be the judge? Number three, what will be the rule of judgment? Then the number four, what is the object of this judgment? We are going to learn a bit about all these things. Now the number one, who will appear? The answer is plain from the account we just read. He said we must all appear before the judgment. So everybody, both believers and unbelievers, we must all appear in the judgment seat. You can read this one to Matthew 25, verse 31 to 33. And Daniel 7, as I said, from 7 from 9 to 10. Both believers and unbelievers will appear before the judgment seat. The only difference is that the believer has no fear, because he knows that the judge will declare them justified and acquitted. I'm going to explain why they have no fear. Why? Because they repented when the word was preached to them. While they were in this world, they repented and trusted in his death on Calvary as their only hope. Those who repented and trusted in Christ, that his death on Calvary is their only hope to go to God. And as a result, Christ imputed unto them his righteousness. So this is their hope. And that, therefore they know that when they appear before the seat, even though they know they are sinners, they will be justified. That is what we call justification. Their sins will be forgiven them. They will come as if they have never sinned. Why? Because Christ has paid for their sins. So then somebody will ask, if that's the case, then why are they appearing at all? If they are appearing knowing that already they've been declared righteous, why are they appearing? The reason why we shall all appear is that the unbelievers who will be condemned to hell, they cannot say that believers were not right and somehow they were smuggled into heaven unlawfully. So for Christ to prove that everyone is going to be judged, both the believer and the unbeliever must appear. It is needful that the believer appears also, so that they won't say Christ has been partial. They will see, everybody will see there, but everybody is going to defend him or herself. The believer is going to tell God that, God, you said if I believe in your son and his death, you forgive me of my sins. I did believe. I repented. My hope was on his cross, his death on the cross. So with this, I have to come to your kingdom. You tell God what he has said. And you know God cannot lie. That word appeared it's an interesting one, like I said earlier on. It also means that no one can disguise himself. You can't come behaving like you are a believer. See, appear means you'll be revealed, you'll be displayed. Everyone will be seen as you are. All the life you have led in this world will be shown to you like video. Within the twinkle of an eye, you see all your life as being shown to you on video. So there's no way, nobody can hide, nobody can pretend. Everybody will be seen as he is. Now, the second point is, who will be the judge? As we all read, we know that the answer is straightforward. Christ is going to be the judge, because the text says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So he is going to be the judge. And it is most proper that Christ should be appointed as the judge of all mankind. In Acts 17 verse 31, it says that he will judge the world in righteousness. And the judgment will be through a man whom God has appointed. Because he has furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Christ has died to save us from our sins, and he has risen up again. He became a man and died and rose up and went back to heaven. So he is more proper for him to judge the world. In our course, like I said earlier on, men judges men, isn't it? It is men who judge other men. It is not angels who judge men. It is men who judge their fellow men. So the Lord God will judge men. At the same time, it will be in the person of Jesus Christ, the man. You may ask why. Why is it only Christ who can judge? Because he was once judged by men. And he is not going to judge men. Secondly, Christ knows all about man. Because he himself has been under the law himself. And he was very humble to the law. He was able to follow the law. Everything. He has lived as we are living now. And he was able to stand against all temptations. He was humble to the law. He has stood in our place to bear all man's temptations. So in view of all these 3 points, he is most fit to be our judge. He will not be partial. He will never respect anybody more than the other. Whether you are a king or a prince or a slave, you will be judged. You will have a fair and full trial coming from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now the third point is, what will the rule of judgment be? What will be the rule? How are we going to be judged? The text says that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether good or bad. Like I said earlier on, refer to the seed and the crop. Whatever you sow, that is what comes out as a crop. You can't sow maize or corn and then expect to have rice, or rice and expect to have corn. No. What you sow is what you will become. That's why he said, what every man has done in his body, it will be known on that day. And remember that in our lives, everything we do is being recorded in heaven, whether we do good or bad. And on that day, it will come to life. You see all to be brought before you in judgment, both your sins you have committed. Listen to me well. Your sins you have committed, your sins you inherited from Adam, and even your sins of omission. This is very important. Your sins of omission, which I'm going to explain later, what your sins of omission are, and then your sins of commission. Commission is what you have done yourself, the sins you have committed yourselves. And omissions are those that you are supposed to do, but which you haven't done. Some that you ought to do, but you haven't done. Remember when Christ was talking to his disciples, he accused those who were not kind to their fellow men. But he said, in the same way as you did not visit your friends in prison, you did not give those who were in need, you are not giving me. Those who were in prison, you did not visit them, so it means you did not visit me. In the same way, if you have neglected those things, you have also neglected holiness. If you have been giving your life to Christ, these are the things that you have neglected. Holiness, faith and repentance, and even the gospel itself, we have preached to you and you have neglected it. And there are sins of omission. Unbelief. Hatred for Christ. Remember, Christ said, if you are not for me, you are against me. So if you are not for Christ, you are against Christ. And therefore, you hate Christ. All these things you have neglected. And all these things shall be read aloud to you. Remember when Christ was saying this to his disciples in Matthew 19, verse 25, they were like, hey, then who can be saved? To man, it looks impossible. Listen to all these things. It means nobody can be saved. And this is why we always talk about salvation by grace. Because there's nothing anybody can do to be saved. Listen to all these things. Your sins of commission, your sins of omission, your sins that you were even born with, which was not through your fault. So nobody can by him or herself cleanse himself from his sin or be saved. But in short, all these things mean that you have to be like Christ, which no human being can. So it's only by trusting in him that you can be saved. Thanks to him. Because those who have been saved, like I said earlier on, they will come to God and say, great God, you did provide a substitute. And you did say that if we will believe in him, he should be our substitute. And we did. We believe in him. So because we did, we know that Christ has become our substitute. He has borne our sins. And our sins have been transferred unto him. And his righteousness has been imputed unto us. So we appear before God as if we have never sinned. In John 3 verse 18, he said, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because if you have not believed, then you are condemned already. But if you have believed in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that his death on the cross, on Calvary, is your only hope of going to God, then your sins have been forgiven you. If your only hope is that you are trusting in yourself by obeying the commandments, then know that you can never go to God, because nobody can obey all the commandments. You just have to trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the fourth one is, what is the object of this judgment? Why are we being judged? What is the reason for this judgment? According to the text, it is not only for sentence and acquittal, or just condemnation only. The text says that every man may receive the things done in his body. To those who gave their lives to Christ and trusted in his death on Calvary as their only hope, who saw that they could do nothing about their sins, but trusted in the imputation of Christ's righteousness, Christ will tell them, enter into the joy of the Lord. Remember when Christ was going, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And where I am, that is where you will be. He said, in my Father's house, there are many, many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. So those who will give their lives to Christ while they are in this world, on that day, Christ will tell them, enter into the joy of the Lord. And what will he tell the unbelievers or the ungodly? They also receive the punishment due to them, which is everlasting torment in hell. In summary, to just this one, it means hell, sin is to hell, holiness leads to heaven. Like I said, there are only two ways. There's no in between. Either you go to heaven or you go to hell. Sin leads to hell. So not until you are able to get rid of your sin whilst you are living in this world. And remember, you can only get rid of your sin through the blood of the spotless our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no other way that your sins can be forgiven you. So if you give your life to him, you represent holiness, which leads to righteousness. If you did not, you represent sin, which leads to hell. No one can stand against the wrath of God, which will be exhibited on that day. Remember, as I said earlier on, Noah's time. So the same thing. Noah was preaching. People were saying that he was saying all sort of things about him. And yet, in the end, it happened. Flood came and everybody got destroyed except 8 souls. Only 8 souls. So you see how serious the whole thing is. The same thing happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. There were warnings and warnings and warnings. They never heeded to the warnings. and in the end, fire consumed all of them. Our world now is stored for fire. It will be destroyed with fire. Remember that two of them happened. So why do you think the third one will not happen? It will happen because the word of God states it. God, who cannot lie, he has said it, that he will bring an end to this world. So, friends, these are the things that we should think of. Where we will spend eternity. How are we going to be with Christ in heaven and not go to hell? And the answer is simple faith in Jesus Christ. A simple faith in Jesus Christ. Just believing that what he has done on the cross of Calvary, he did it for you so that your sins will be forgiven you. He did it for you so that you can understand the word of God. Because not until you are saved, according to Ephesians 2 verse 1, you are dead in sins, you are dead in your trespasses. And what can a dead body do? There's nothing you can do. He has to come and awaken you from your death and then give you a sense to really understand the scriptures. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. So, if you want to go to heaven, there's only one safety, a simple faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The question I want to ask you today is that, have you given your life to Jesus Christ in truth and in sincerity? Have you come to him and asked him to pardon and forgive you of your sins? Have you come to confess to him that you are a sinner and there's nothing you can do about your sin, and you believe that he died to save you from your sins? Have you done this? If you haven't done that, you can come to church so many times. You can even prophesy. As Christ said, that people will say, we prophesy in your name, we heal in your name, and I will tell you, I don't know you. If you haven't done it, your church coming will be in vain. If you haven't done it, once you are alive, there is hope. Please, today, just today, as you have heard his word, bow down your head and pray, confessing your sins to him and asking him to forgive you and pardon you. And as he has said, that same day, he will forgive you of all your sins and give you a new birth. And like he has said, if you don't do this, he is coming as a thief in the night before you realize he's here. And that day will be very terrible. Let's pray. Oh God, our gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for thy word this morning. Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done. Father, we pray for your blessing upon your word this morning into the hearts of all those who have heard it today, and even for those who will listen to them later. Bless thy word that it will be fruitful, for thou hast promised that thy word does not go and come back in vain. Father, let this be done in our lives, that in everything your name will be glorified. Father, we thank you for hearing us, even as we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.